Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, challenge friends. Welcome to this special challenge show. I'm Benny Adams. You guys might know me from the Challenge After Show and the Challenge News Daily. Joining me, you know this guy from the real world, the Challenge, and other reality shows, Mr. Marlon Williams. How's it going, man?
No, it's going good, man. It's a great Friday. You know what I'm saying? I got to hit the gym today, so I got no complaints.
Exactly. So we're talking about some heavy stuff today. There is a lot going on with the Black Lives Movement and how it's affecting reality TV. And I'm just going to jump right in, and I want to talk about this tweet that you posted not too long ago, and it was about Dee. Backstory about Dee: she was pretty much fired from MTV for saying some insensitive comments on the Black Lives Matter movement. Can you, for the viewers and listeners who have not heard what you had to say about that, can you describe a little bit what you said?
Yeah, man. So my big issue with this is Dee is, you know, part of the minority group, right? She may not be necessarily, quote unquote, a person of color, but she is part of the minority group. So my big deal with them firing Dee is I feel like it was a scapegoat for them to save face and say, oh, we're part of the Black Lives Matter movement and we want to show intolerance to, you know, insensitivity or racism. But I find it very funny because there was a lot of other candidates. There were a lot of issues in MTV's history where white counterparts have done things that were actually malicious. They were actually very targeted towards people of color, and they were meant to hurt when they did it. And they've gotten second chances. They've even created, you know, alternate like programs so that they can come back and try to, you know, save their image or their career with MTV. And I find it very funny that they took such a aggressive and almost instantaneous. I mean, they fired Dee within 24 hours. In any other case, it was like, well, let us, you know, review what was going on. But they instantly gave her the cut. My whole perspective of this is that kind of feeds right back into the institutionalized racism. That feeds back into the prison pipeline system in a sense of you're going to be way harsher on a non-white person and making an example out of them and destroying all their future opportunities, whereas you have a history of giving your white counterpart who has done worse, you know, second chances and third and fourth chances. That feeds into a bigger problem of the Black Lives Matter movement, which is destroying minority or people of color's opportunities instantaneously while at the same time giving whites, you know, I guess more mercy. And that to me is backwards in MTV's approach. And I feel like that does more hurt to the Black Lives movement than it does help.
Okay. And so with Dee, there are reports that she's suing MTV for what they
did. Wait, what?
Yeah. All over, man. So what? She's suing them. Reports. There are reports. So she hasn't publicly said anything, but these reports are saying that she's with this Australian law firm and that she's suing them. One, since I'm just now finding out that you didn't know, what did you think about that? And two, do you think Dee should have been fired in the first place?
In context, yes, because what she said was insensitive. It wasn't malicious, but you have to read the room, right? It's a very sensitive time for anything that you say relative to the Black Lives Matter, to the George Floyd, to the whole thing, right? So I think that she should have been definitely like reprimanded. There should have been some negative consequences, The only reason why I say that she should be fired is just because the timing was bad. If this had been 6 months ago, I honestly probably would not have cared. I would have been like, I don't have that much of, I guess, respect for reality stars on that level to really understand the movement. But all in all, I definitely think that she should have had some type of consequence. I think when we're looking at the full picture, should she have been fired? No. She just said something that was insensitive. She wasn't being a bigot. She wasn't being malicious. It was just a bad timing.
Okay. And so you mentioned other cast members have gotten away with way worse. Not too long ago, Taylor Selfridge from Teen Mom, she was fired for racist tweets that actually came back online through us, AfterBuzz TV, from one of our after shows. What did you think about all that when you heard about that, knowing that these tweets, people knew about these tweets years ago?
Yeah.
We didn't find out about these tweets yesterday or the day before yesterday. So what did you think about that whole move of them firing her?
That's a very, very tricky situation, right? Because this is old. This is like, 2 years ago. So my first thing is if you're going for her now and you understand how bad it is, why weren't you going for her all these other years ago? Because this is after the fact. She's already made her money. She's already built a name for herself. She already has a platform. So whether you fire her or not, she always has, some validity of a future, right? So you slapping her on the wrist now is really kind of too little too late for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in full spectrum, I say that I'm glad that they did it in the sense of they're saying that, like, we're going to be intolerant of this going forward. But I don't want this to get to a slippery slope. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm glad that they're going back and they're holding people accountable for their racism or their insensitivity and the whole nine. But I feel like as a person of color, right, I feel like we still have to leave that very small. And I mean very, very, very small. I'm talking minute, if you can see my emoji small, room of forgiveness for some of these people, because we also, as people of color, need to show that we're willing to have some acceptance for people that do learn from their lessons. You know what I mean? That do learn, because if we just go through and we just continually just guillotine all these people from what they've done in the past, there's going to be a new type of animosity that is going to I feel like stop a lot of potentially non people of color from even wanting to understand or even wanting to open up the door to better themselves, because they're like, well, I already messed up, so what's the point of stopping now? Like, what's the point of listening to you now? So I think that, I think there's a better way that we can go forward, especially with MTV showing their support to Black Lives Matter, because I don't necessarily want to see anybody lose their platform, but I do think there needs to be consequences for your actions.
Right.
2 years afterwards isn't really like, you already put mad money in her pocket. Like, so you find her now, it's just really kind of like, well, we already paid you, so we're done. We'll find somebody else. It's not, it doesn't give me that same sense of support.
Okay. And so a lot of fans, a lot of viewers of MTV, they are not happy because, like you said, other people are getting off the hook, so to speak. You have Camila after that huge moment with Leroy. You have Johnny Bananas after that moment with Cheyenne. And then you have Jordan. And I think a lot of people are the most upset with Jordan with when he was on The Real World and he got in that fight
right
with Naya. So,
and I was there. Like, I mean, I had the front row seat to that.
Right. You guys were roommates. So
right.
What do you think about that situation? Because there are rumors going around that allegedly MTV execs, they had a meeting about Jordan and they decided that they were just going to give him a warning, which means they're going to suspend him from the challenge for 1 to 3 or 4 seasons. Again, this is all allegedly. Not sure if it's true or not, but do you think that Jordan should be punished just like D?
Is he in like, dude, that's tough. Well, I want to address this so-called suspension. If it does turn out to be a 1 to 2 or 3 year suspension, I feel like that's not really a punishment. Jordan took, you know, 1 to 2, 3 years off the challenge willingly. You know what I mean? So I don't really think that that's, if they're really going to say they're going to punish him or give him a warning or whatever, that's not really it. But somebody like Jordan, right? He's not the most liked person on him, like from a fan base perspective. So I do think that that gives people a little bit of a bias. But I will say this, coming from someone who's known him from day one to now, I will say that Jordan is one of those people that have grown. He has accepted some responsibility and some accountability for the fact that his views have hurt people. His views has enabled racism. His actions have enabled a part of the problem, right? I feel like he's one of the few people that has, and this is behind the scenes. You may not, I mean, obviously you're not going to get this on social media and all that, but he is somebody that, even if you talk to Naya, has, you know, come to grips with he was wrong. And there's nothing that he can do to ever, you know what I mean, take that back. But I also look at where he's at now as an individual and as the man. I feel like he is somebody that could be a very powerful ally going forward. Because if you look at it, he's not losing his job with MTV, right? So that means he has favor in their eyes. And he's a person that can speak on our behalf. Now, I don't necessarily like the whole, you know, I guess, you know, white people speaking for our issues, but you know, we have to have a foot in the door. We have to have somebody in the room. And I do think that he's a person that has evolved enough through his career, getting the backlash from the fans, getting the backlash for on social media. And he's changed. So I feel like give him the suspension, but I think this is one of those people where we need to leave that little bit of room of forgiveness, because I think his support and his allyship with the Black Lives Matter movement, with people of color in the MTV brand, will do more good than hurt, if that makes sense.
So do you think that MTV, if they are letting him slide with a warning, do you think they're doing that because they see that he has learned and grown other than why do you think
they're not? MTV's letting Jordan stay because he brings them money. Let's just be 100%. Like it's money, right? It's the same way that they're not gonna even entertain Johnny Bananas not being on the show, right? Because he's the face of the challenge. You know what I mean? It's like going to a Beyonce concert and Beyonce doesn't show up. You know, you just can't do it, right? Or like Destiny Child is doing a concert and Beyonce doesn't show up. You ain't selling as many tickets. You feel what I'm saying? So they are just trying to, I just really honestly feel like they're just trying to save face with Jordan, in a sense of, let's just do the bare minimum to show that we're trying to be proactive, but they're more importantly trying to save their coin. That's how I feel. They're okay. Simply trying to save their money.
And yeah, people are talking on social media. Again, these are rumors, but allegedly for Johnny Bananas, they're saying that he is going to announce his retirement, allegedly, and work behind the scenes. So I want to know, what do you think about all that craziness? Because that blew my mind.
Let me give you a little bit better perspective on how I think when I look at what the video that I made, right? So when I made my video, I wasn't just talking about racism, right? I was talking about overall, one, representation of Black people on a major network like MTV. It needs to be more diverse, and we need to get more shades of the Black experience out there for people. Also, what I was talking about is the fact that when I say bad stuff that white people have done, I'm not just talking about racism. I mean, there's a long list of things that, you know, white counterparts have done that have been very, very bad. You know what I mean? And they bring these men back year after year after year after year. Johnny Bananas being one of them. So my thing is like, it's like, if Johnny Bananas is announcing his retirement, but they're now about to give him a job as an executive, what lesson is he really learning? You know what I mean? That's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, he's basically getting the same pay, just in a different position. Maybe even a pay raise. You know what I mean? Because like, they're not just going to put him in a PA position. So I feel like this is another one of those deals where it's that intricacies of saving face. They've already put enough money in Johnny Banana's pocket. They've already, you know, given him such a huge platform that even if the fans being mad at Johnny for how terrible he's been is the reason why he's kind of forced into retirement, if MTV is really on the side of really setting an example, then he shouldn't have a job there. You know what I mean? Like, he shouldn't be getting pretty much a pay raise and more. This thing, if he's getting put behind the scenes to help with producing, right? Like you're really giving him more power over what happens on the show, you know, theoretically, because he'll be choosing who gets on, who doesn't get on, you know, what stories get told, what stories don't get told. And I don't know, man, that's a very, how do I say it? You know, I can't really put my finger on how I feel about that. There's so many angles that I just, you know, it's that corporate ability to manipulate the narrative that it's like, well, we can't even really go after Bananas because now he's behind the scenes, mm-hmm. You know?
So do you think that all these people who are getting caught saying these offensive or racist things on social media or on TV, do you think that every single person, past or present, should be punished like what they did with Dee and Taylor?
I would say I will be hypocritical. I say it will be slightly hypocritical for me to say that, because what I truly want to see is, I want to see not only on, you know, MTV, you know what I mean, but even just like in the judicial system and, you know, the social court, you know, what I want to see is people of color have more of the same benefit of the doubt, more of the same second chances. I want to see people of color and minorities get more of those opportunities of making a mistake, and then these same major entities giving them the chance to show their change or their growth, and not holding them to those one mistakes, the same way that they do with the white counterparts. So for me, if I'm going to sit here and say, yes, you need to go through and X every single cast member that has ever done anything racist, I feel like that would make me hypocritical in a sense of going forward. It's like, well, what if there's a black person that does something, you know, that's malicious or terrible? Do we instantly X them, or do we give them a second chance? You know what I mean? Because then you got to look at Kevin Hart situation, right?
Yeah.
I was hurt. I was so hurt for Kevin Hart that one of his biggest dreams as a comedian was stolen from him from something from 10 years ago that he already apologized for. Now, he actually acknowledged and apologized on 9. And that's where that gray area for me is like, I do want to see some consequences for the people's actions, but I also want to see us progress more to that level of equality where we as people of color are getting the same respect. We're getting the same response. We're getting the same consequences equivalent to our white counterpart. And I feel if we go with this revenge type mentality for too long, there's gonna be this new seed of animosity that, you know, it'll be more of the Johnny Banana stuff. Okay, yeah, you did something racist, don't worry about that. We'll get you another job over here, and they won't, yeah, then they can't come from you. You know what I mean? So I want a little bit of mercy on both sides. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to see a major, major increase in accountability on the white side, you know?
Right. And so you've been on a couple of reality shows. You've been on The Real World. You were on The Challenge. You were on X on the Beach, Peak of Love. As a Black man, did you experience any racism towards you or towards any other cast members on these shows that you were on?
You know, that's hard. That's a very hard thing. That's a hard question for me to answer, because I do feel that as an African-American on reality TV, I do feel like at times we're pressured into fitting a certain narrative or fitting a certain cast type. You know what I mean? So, you know, that won't necessarily be looked at as racism, but, you know, the trickle down effect is, you know, people only see one side of our experience, which could feed into like that prejudice or that racism. So I do feel like with the reality TV shows that I've done, I do feel like Black males specifically do get pushed more towards representing only a certain type, you know, of narrative or storyline. As far as just brute in your face, we don't like you because you're Black or whatever the case may be. No, I personally have never experienced anything like that from, you know, like production or MTV exec or anything like that. You know, but I would say that there's so many layers to racism that what people are wanting to hear, I can't give them. But I can tell you that the intricacies, the wiping under the rug, the blatant lack of value for the Black, you know, we'll say personalities, is definitely there. You know, we're definitely not valued the same as our counterparts. I can't say that.
You said that. So production, you say that they make you, or African Americans make African Americans look a certain way. How can you explain a little bit more on that? Did they come up to you and say, hey, I want you to say this, or I want you to act like this? Or was it just all in the editing of the show?
Nothing is ever like it is Hollywood. So nothing is ever just blatantly like, do this or we're not gonna like, You know, I would say editing plays a big role in a sense of, you know, like in Cheyenne's case, where she was like, you know, they edited to make it look like I was the problematic, you know, Black girl. I would say a lot of situations get edited in a way that it diminishes some of the issues that we have to deal with as far as African Americans. For example, the thing with Jordan Nia, I feel like, you know, what was said and how that went down, I think they portrayed, you know, Nia in a way that made her look more a part of the problem than she actually was in that instance, you know, in that blow up, you know what I mean? You know, I know in a few cases with me, it was like, it made it look like I was just, you know, the guy blowing up and yelling and being mad. And it was just so unreasonable, but it was just like, no, there was a course of action that got to that point. But you know what I mean? And it's what we sign up for to a point, you know what I mean? Cause it is reality TV, but I feel like when you have such a consistent breadcrumb pattern, it becomes one of those things of, okay, is that all you want to see from people that look like me? Or, you know what I mean? Or is there something else going on, you know?
Right. And so I want to go back to Jordan. Have you talked to him at all since everything has been going down? How does he feel about all this?
You know, I felt a little weird reaching out to him, because the video that I made, you know, obviously everybody in the world instantly jumped to the, yeah, you know, we need to go after Jordan. So I've been a little bit afraid to reach out to him, because I don't want him to feel like I made that video because I was personally trying to call him out or attack him. That was never my like intention. So I haven't actually talked to him. I haven't reached out to him. I'm pretty sure he's probably going to be, he's being silent on social media and all that on purpose. I can honestly say though, like from our interactions all the way from Real World to now, I mean, I still wish the best for the man, you know. I know he wishes he could take back that moment, you know, but it's there. It's never going to go away. But I can truly say that Jordan is a different man now than who he was then. You may not like his delivery and his bluntness. You know, that's kind of part of that hard father, you know, Southern mentality that I grew up with. So I get where it comes from. But all in all, the dude is a good guy, you know, and he's made worlds of a leap of change and who he truly is as a person that you may not get to see outside of reality TV. You know what I mean?
And so I want to talk about Taylor Selfridge and Corey. So they're together. They have a child together. It's a messy situation, man. So the stuff that she said, now that was just pure blown racist.
Like, oh, no.
Racist with a capital R.
Right. Like, you know? like literally, like, can we get the Webster Dictionary? Here's an example, i.e. Taylor. Like, boom.
Right.
No, right. So, you know, in her case, she's one of those people that's just like, you may, I don't know, man. It's tough because, like, on one end, it's like, dang, girl, how could you go that far? But then on the other end, it's like, well, you kind of had a baby with a person of color, right? But then at the same time, it was like, well, Corey was like, well, I don't identify as being, you know, black, right? So there's this full round circle. Now, I would say this. I've talked to Corey, you know, kind of about that situation. I feel like, you know, I do think that his situation was taken a little bit out of context in the sense that, you know, some mixed African-Americans don't experience some of the levels of inequality because they are mixed, right? Just depending on your circumstance. So I understand where he was coming from. He just didn't articulate it the way that he should have or how he didn't articulate it in a great way. The funny thing with Taylor is the fact that at what instance is she really being held accountable? Because, I mean, she's with a black man. She's having a baby with the African-American, right? And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, you like D said, oh, I lost my virginity to black guys, so I'm not racist. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that they took everything to the point of, I'm with you. We're dating. I want to have a child with you. Like, I want the world to know this. Like, I'm not ashamed of this. You know what I mean? For all intents and purposes, she now has to raise, you know, a person of color, right? Mm-hmm. So I think she's one of those people that we need to be careful with, because we don't want her to have this animosity that she now puts into that child. Because that child might grow up not liking its own people, or not realizing that they're a person of color. So there's just so many layers to their situation that, like, I don't just focus on, when I speak about these issues, I try not to just focus on my relativity to MTV. I try to focus on my relativity to the fact that more people follow me, not because I'm on MTV to, like, now, today, they follow me more so for my commentary on how I see things.
Yeah.
So I have to be careful with not locking myself into, well, how does this issue only apply to MTV? Because my platform for what I say and what I do and why people have still rocked with me for this point is because of the context that it gives well beyond that. And her situation is so tricky, because I don't want her to have an animosity towards the Black Lives Matter movement or towards people of color, because her child may need that movement one day. Her child may need to embrace that movement one day. And if she has such an animosity towards us because, you know, we're trashing her on social media and, you know, tucking away her job opportunities, what is she going to feed into that kid?
Yeah.
You know? But I do think that with what she said and what she put out there, I mean, I don't know her personally, so I don't know if her being, you know, cut from MTV and all that stuff was reasonable or not. But I feel like she's another one of those situations where MTV had to do it because everybody was looking at how shady it looked when they cut D. You know what I mean? So they were like, oh, crap. You know, people are calling us on our BS, so now we have to go for somebody else. So she got caught in a crosswind, you know? But it's just, like I said, it's just so many layers to this whole situation, you know? You know what I mean? It's not black. I know this is like crazy for me to say this, but it's just not a black and white situation.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm hoping that we can get to a point where accountability is made when it counts the most. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's been so many years where people of color have been wanting to have this conversation, but it has always been on, you know, white people's terms. And it's put us in a box to where it's like, well, we can't really bring this up, or we can't talk about this, we can't expose this person and all that, right? I really want us to get to a point to where it's like, it's not an afterthought. You know, it's not a, oh, let's go back and then revisit. I really want us to get to that next phase where it's like, okay, you're going to be held accountable day one. And if you rebuild your image, if you rebuild your brand, whatever the case may be, you know, best of luck to you, but we're going to start holding people accountable from day one. And being fair across the board. That's right. Where I really want to get to.
And so you said, you mentioned that you talked to Corey, you know, about his situation when he was on Instagram Live. Have you talked to him since the fallout with Taylor? What is he thinking about all this and MTV? He was briefly on Instagram Live where he talked about Taylor. He actually started crying. And, you know, he was saying Taylor's a good person, but has he talked to you at all about this situation? Just what does he think about it all?
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to him about that because I was actually trying to catch his Instagram Live because I kind of wanted to see where his head at, what may have been going on behind the scenes or whatever, but I didn't get to catch his live. And I haven't reached out to him, you know, just yet. I mean, His experience is probably gonna be a whole lot different than mine, just because he knows Taylor personally. And I know Corey is passionate enough about, you know, his background as a black man that I don't think that he would have a child and put all this energy into showcasing it with her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If he truly thought that she wasn't deserving of some compassion. You know, Corey's really not, he's not a dumb guy. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not going to take him to do my SATs or anything like that, but he, you know what I mean? But he's really not a dumb guy. He can make some intelligent, you know, decisions, you know? So when I look at the respect that I have for him as a black man, for him to have a child with this woman and want it to be seen for everybody, and to be that, like you said, to be that passionate about, you know, throwing a bone for her, for people to understand who she is as a person, then I think that goes to show like how much one, she's probably grown that maybe we haven't seen in the limelight. But maybe there is a little bit of remorse and a little bit of, you know, education and knowledge that she's got now that she's changed. You know, she's a different person.
What do you think MTV needs to do? Because a lot of people are saying MTV is not stepping up. You know, we have Bravo, who a lot of people are applauding for what they did for one of their reality shows and firing like these big names for what they did.
Yeah, Bravo snipped like four people.
Yeah, yeah. And it was all thanks to actually someone who was on the challenge for a couple of seasons. So that was
Faith.
Yeah, Faith.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So kudos to her for that. But so a lot of people are saying that, you know, MTV is not stepping up to the plate like Bravo has. What do you think MTV needs to do so people can see that, you know, these guys are really for the Black Lives Matter movement?
You know, I think this is one of those things where it's like, if you're not first, you're last. You know what I mean? The fact that Bravo went so gung-ho and MTV is unfortunately kind of after the fact, you know, even if they do, you know, fire a bunch of people at this point, it's always going to be that thing in the room of, are you doing it because you really care? Or are you doing it just because we called you on your BS? You know what I mean? I think that the one thing that MTV could do, I don't know if they will, But the one thing that MTV could do is just make a statement and hold themselves accountable and just say what we all already know is we have been unfair. We have unrightfully, you know, marginalized, you know, people of color, minorities. We're making strides to move forward to change these things. Give us some time to make good on our word. We know for a fact that there are some people that we need to be more strict on, you know, like just have some acknowledgement and some accountability on their part to feeding into, you know, the negative sides of prejudice and racism. And then tell us, what are you going to do going forward to ensure that you don't keep feeding into the system? Because even if you fire a bunch of people at this point, no one's going to take it as sincere. Because it's like, well, you didn't do it until we forced you to do it. You didn't do it until we started complaining. You didn't just take the initiative and do it without us having to be on you about it. And I really think that that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to lead by example. They're going to have to put a plan out there to say, look, this is how we're going to change the game. This is how we're going to lead the movement forward. And this is how we're going to contribute. And I think that that's their best. That would be their best move to actually show the minority community that they actually mean what they mean, that what they're saying, that they're actually being sincere, you know?
Right.
We'll see.
And so what's your relationship like with MTV? Are there more reality shows for you in the future? Have you hung up that cap?
I would think that after this little, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, I think that after all the videos and the statements that I've posted here lately, I'm pretty sure my MTV days are probably going to be over. Just because, you know, I'm pretty sure when you get high enough off the chain, if they've seen everything, they've probably ruffled a few feathers that, you know.
So why risk that? Why, you know, post these videos about these controversial moments? Why not just say, you know what, I'm just going to stay out of this because I want another callback? You know, what's your reasoning for doing what you're doing?
I grew up, put it like this, bro. My dad was military, and I've moved every 3.5 years of my life. So I've lived in a lot of different cultural settings. And at a very young age, I knew that, like, I never wanted to compromise my Blackness for, like, success and fame. You know what I mean? Like, in a sense of, I've always had the confidence that I could get to where I want to get to in life, because I've always felt like I was talented enough to do that. I look at being on reality TV shows more as a tool to push those goals faster. You know what I mean? Because you get the exposure. But there comes a time in your life, especially as a Black man, where you have to ask yourself, like, are your people more important than your dollars? Are your people more important than your clout? And for me, I've been through so much racism. Like, it would boggle your mind. I could talk to you for days about all the different racist and terrible situations that I've been through. And I think at my age now, I feel like I will be doing a disservice to all the little, you know, the young Black kids that are in my inbox, you know, that are like, look, man, I look up to you. You bring such a positive, you know, light to reality TV. They're like, you're the type of Black man that we don't get to see very often. I feel like I will be doing a disservice to all of them, especially when we're dealing with stuff like George Floyd, when we're dealing with stuff like the prison, you know, the school to prison pipeline, when we're dealing with institutions. I feel like I'd be doing a disservice to them if I didn't speak up. And if that means I can't do any more TV shows, I mean, then that right there alone shows you what the problem is. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if me speaking out for equality gets me not to be able to do then, like, that's a big problem.
Right.
And my Blackness and my support for my people is a little bit more important to me now than, you know, a check here, a check there. Maybe we'll call you, maybe we won't, you know. The time for us as Black people is now, and we're starting to be heard. People are starting to take us serious. People are starting to see that we're not just complaining, you know. We've got the proof now. We can point to it, you know. We need to take advantage of that and not waste this moment, you know?
Wow. So if MTV or Viacom say they hit you up today, hey, Marlon, do you want to be on season 36 of The Challenger? We're working on this new reality show on MTV. And we want you. What would your answer be?
Hell yeah. Because I say that just because it's like, I have no, like, this is the thing. I have no problem telling them no to something. You know what I mean? Like, I have no problem being like, I'm not comfortable with this situation, or I don't want to be a part of this. And I'll just dip out. I'll leave it. I won't. And they know this. They know this about me. Right. They knew this in real world. Like, I mean, there's plenty of times where, like, I've gone off on producers, not like Camila style. You know what I mean? But like, I've gone off computers, but like I don't, you know, like I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to do that. Like y'all not, you know what I mean? So they know that about me. So if they ask me to do a reality TV show, you know, I'm the type of person, I'm smart enough to know how to conduct myself. I'm a smart enough person that I know how to, like, okay, if I'm gonna be a part of it, these are my guidelines. This is my limit. If y'all are cool with that, let's run with it. If not, you know, catch me next time.
All right. Well, Marv, this was an amazing talk, man. Thank you so much. Any final words that you wanted to give our viewers and listeners?
Man, I would just say context, you know? This is a very emotional time for everybody from every walk of life. But I think that we need to start looking at the context of a lot of these issues. Take the time to just look at a situation from one to two perspectives that make you uncomfortable. Just 30 minutes to a day, a Google, a search, you know, ask a friend. We're in a very emotional time, but just take that minute to get some contextual value and have those one to two uncomfortable conversations or research journeys just to have a better picture of the world that we live in. And that's going to help us come a little bit closer together. It's going to make the guilt and the negativity a whole lot less. And it's going to clear the room. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, Marlon Williams, thank you so much, man, for coming on. This was a great talk. I'm sure we will have you on again. And I'm sure we'll see you on TV again, man. I'm definitely down to see you on TV. But that is all the time we have for today, guys. I'm your host, Benny Adams. Thank you again for tuning in. You can find me on all social media at Benny J. Adams. You can find Marlon on his social media. His social media is in the bio. Again, thank you guys, and I will see you guys next time. Take it easy.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.